Today's program is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
Hi, this is Celia Cutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 this is Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's December 2nd, 2014. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Thanks for our sponsors, greatbrewers.com. All right, so we're talking about Rhode Island beer today. We've got a room full of interesting guests, most of whom have never tried any Rhode Island beers. But this show is thanks to Chris O'Leary from Brew York, New York, who brought a bunch of samples down, and also our good listener, Lamel Moore in Rhode Island, who's always sending in notes and photos of great beers from Rhode Island. So, guys, welcome to the show. Chris O'Leary, welcome in, buddy.
Thanks. I think I should establish my chops on Rhode Island beer, because why is this guy who writes about beer in New York City, you know, responsible for a Rhode Island beer show? But I grew up in Rhode Island. I'm very proud to call it home, and very proud to have a beer scene that we can finally be proud of. It's really come a long way in the last few years, and it's no longer for beer geeks a bump on the road somewhere in between, you know, Brooklyn Brewery and Harpoon or Sam Adams. So,
well, we know that there's some local stories. We know that there's a brewery that's licensed here, Third Reel Brewing. I know that they go up to Newport Storm and make their beers.
Yep, and another local tie is Basil from Finback Brewery here in Queens. Grew up in Rhode Island as well. So there's a few ties. We have a small but proud Rhode Island expat community here in New York. So we're close enough to home, and surprisingly, though, don't get much, if any, Rhode Island beer down here. In fact, the only thing that we get that's even Rhode Island, that has ties to Rhode Island, is Narragansett. And coincidentally, most of their beer is brewed here in New York State, so in Rochester. So.
Go figure. Hey, we got some other great. We got Zach Mack from ABC Beer Company.
How's it going,
hey,
Jimmy?
Zach. And Nico Kremitas, who's the Yankee Brew News correspondent.
Hi, Jimmy.
For New York. And also, we brought along the Yankee Brew News this month because it's one of the few magazines that actually covers Rhode Island beer. And there's a guy named, we'll give some shout-outs, Larry Brown. He's the correspondent for Yankee Brew News in Rhode Island. And he covered everything from Crooked Current to Tilted Barn Brewery to Whalers Brewing and Foolproof Brewing. And I know, Chris, you brought some of these in today.
Yep. I brought some stuff from Foolproof, got some stuff from Gray Sale here as well. Newport Storm, the oldest production brewery in Rhode Island. And Revival as well, whose brewer Sean Larkin is probably one of the there's hardly a beer in Rhode Island he hasn't touched in one way or another, either by inspiring someone or leading the beer scene in Rhode Island. So his beers are here too, although these are brewed in Connecticut, Cottrell in Pawcatuck, which is literally walking distance from the Rhode Island state line. So that's on a technicality that it's not part of the Rhode Island beer scene.
Zach, why are you on the Rhode Island beer show?
Well, I'm a New Englander too. I grew up in Boston, which, you know, is the big brother, but grew up kind of told never to go down to Providence because it was really unsafe when I was a kid. Safe for a few things my parents dragged me along to. But it all got cleaned up in the late 90s, and everything seems to be nice down there. I mean, that was before I was of drinking age, but I think that New England in general, we're kind of reared with this acceptance of craft beer. Maybe it's the Boston Beer Company and Sam Adams' prevalence there, and you don't have to grow up knowing only anything but micro or macro beer. So for me, it's just something that as a kid, I was always used to being into the local beer scene, and I've been accepting of it. So glad to see Rhode Island's finally kicking up.
All right. Mm-hmm. Chris, what's the first beer that you opened?
I think you're having the Revival Burn Cider Pale Ale. The Burn Cider being the Burnside, General Burnside, a Rhode Islander who was famed for coining the term sideburns. Hence the
yeah, but I really believe that one. I believe that.
I'm not joking. Look it up. it's a pretty great beer now. Sean Larkin, it's his own brand that he started. He was also the brewmaster for Trinity Brew House in Providence, which is our oldest brew pub, opened in the mid 90s. And he now has a new brew pub in Cranston, Rhode Island, called Brewtopia, which opened in May of this year. He's also now brewing a lot of the kegged revival beers there as well. So, you know, his packaged stuff is brewed just outside the state, but his keg stuff is brewed in Rhode Island now at his own facility.
Nico, have you had any experience with Rhode Island beers?
Actually, this is my first, which is why when I was invited, I jumped on the opportunity to come and listen to Chris dissect these beers.
But you did. You write for Yankee Brew News. You wrote a great article about canning on the go.
Yeah, I followed Tyler from Ironheart Canning, and he runs a great company called Ironheart Canning, and it's one of the mobile canners in the country. Chris, any canning going on in Rhode Island?
There is canning. The two breweries that almost exclusively can have their own canning lines. One is Graysale, which is probably the oldest of the new wave of craft brewers in Rhode Island. They opened 3 years ago. And then Foolproof, which opened just under 2 years ago. They're almost exclusively canning their stuff, too. In fact, Graysale was funny because I just went to visit them this past weekend, and they now have a canning line. When they first started, they hand-canned all their beer, and they canned about 350,000 cans.
Wow.
Before they finally got their canning line in. So obviously there's a huge benefit to that mobile canning Ironheart wasn't even really around when Graysale started their operation, but you know, it can certainly help get brewers off the ground when they want to get packaged beer out.
Yeah, I feel like this whole wave of mobile canning kind of is new, and you know, within the last 3 years, it's really taken off, and it's only growing.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, as the ocean state and a state that prides itself on beaches, it's great to have those cans around to bring to the beaches.
Yep.
So, and for those drives up to the White Mountains and the Green Mountains in New Hampshire and Vermont and hiking there, you know, easier to carry in, carry out. So,
Chris, what's the next beer? We got a lot of beers to taste today.
We do.
And we got some Collins coming on too.
I mentioned, speaking of cans, we've got Graysale here. This is the Flying Jenny. Now, actually, on a past episode of Beer Sessions, I brought this in, and I think Sean McCain was sitting right next to me in the studio here, and I handed him this beer, and his eyes lit up. He was off mic at the time, and his eyes just lit up, and he was staring at me and just like mouthing, "This is great," pointing at the beer. So I figured I'd bring it back for a return appearance this time. American Pale Ale. You know, nice, bold, hoppy character to it, Cascade hops.
Graysale, Flying Jenny.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Columbus Tomahawk.
Yeah, I want to hear what Nico and Zach have to say about it.
Right. Hold on 1 second here.
I'm still on the first.
We're trying to pace ourselves. We've got a long show.
I'm on the third. But we don't just drink on the show. But it's also a special day today. It's like Giving Tuesday, and check out heritageradionetwork.org. It's a good time to donate, become a member, you know, before the end of the year. So always check it out, heritageradionetwork.org. And someone out there is tweeting for us today, @beer_sessions. So a lot of things going on. And Lamel Moore, I'm going to tell you something about him. He's going to come on in the second segment. But he's definitely a good Beer Sessions listener. He's tweeted and emailed many times, and we've been looking forward to having a Rhode Island show. Luckily that Chris, you're up in Rhode Island for Thanksgiving. I know that when Lamel comes on, there's also going to be Dammy Olson from Foolproof Brewing on the phone. But, you know, we haven't really had too many chances to taste Rhode Island beers.
No, like I said, there, not much gets down here. I mean, again, the even the strong brewers on the brewing scene in Rhode Island. I mean, Newport Storm, obviously being the oldest production brewery, they just this week announced that they're distributing in Pennsylvania. It's the first time they've really left New England, in fact, with their distribution. Foolproof is, in a handful of New England states as well. Grace Ale, it's same thing there. They're not getting too far, but that's fine because they're producing a lot of beer still, and it sells.
How many breweries are in Rhode Island, Chris?
14 by my last count, production breweries or brew pubs.
And knowing how many, like what your thing is, how many of those have you actually been to?
13. Oh, wow. I take that back. 12. 12.
Do you get tattooed on your back for every brewery you've been to, Chris?
Yeah, right.
Are you trying to go to a brewery in every state? Was that one of your goals?
That's a goal. That's a long-term goal. I've been to 126 breweries this year, though. So, and among them...
You have tattoos from all those breweries?
I wouldn't have any, skin left on my body that wasn't inked up if I did that. So
we're in Bushwick.
we are in Bushwick. It would kind of fit in. The 14 in the state, I think five have opened in the last year. And all but five have opened in the last 3 years. So, we've come a long way really quickly. There was a long time. I joke about how, the Providence Phoenix, which was the alt weekly in Providence, it just folded, back in October, but they have had a best of Rhode Island, readers poll every year. And for the longest time, first decade of the century, it was best brew pub or brewery in Rhode Island, and it was just the five that were open were your choices when you voted. And then more recently, they split it into brew pub and brewery because finally we were able to do that. So there were more options this year than any other year so far. So we've definitely seen progress, but we did kind of remain stagnant during the aughts, there was definitely room for growth, and some really entrepreneuring talented brewers have found that they can be very successful in Rhode Island.
Did we try both of these revival beers?
I think so. I don't know if you tried the Zeppelin. The Zeppelin's a Hefeweizen.
Let's try the Zeppelin.
I don't know if I have any left in this, but there isn't much.
Oh. I got the Hefeweizen. that was a nice Hefeweizen. I got to try that.
You know what? And the thing is about Rhode Island beer is that I don't think there's really one defining characteristic of the beer that's coming out of Rhode Island. I mean, there's a lot of breweries doing a lot of different things, and most of them are very well-rounded, not necessarily specializing in something, with the exception of Proclamation, which just opened at the beginning of this year. They're yeast wranglers, really. They're doing a lot of Brett beer. They're doing Belgian style beers, farmhouse beers. So it's good to see that they're starting to carve out niches for themselves. Proclamation actually was closed this weekend, didn't make it over there, but that's because they're upgrading to a 10 barrel system. So, from a very small system that took up, a corner of their
space. Let's pop that Narragansett too. So,
sure.
The only beer I could get in New York City commercially was Narragansett, and one of the reps brought the coffee stout over to Jimmy's.
Absolutely.
Chris, just for Zach. So you're looking at new beers to buy for ABC Beer Company.
Right.
Let's say like someone came in with a portfolio of Rhode Island beers. I mean, what questions would you ask, or how would you go about, selecting beers like this if they were available?
I'm a little prejudiced because I always try to bulk up my New England section when I'm picking up stuff because that's what I know and I like, and hometown pride and all that. But usually I if the beer speaks for itself, it's just one thing. If it's another knockoff of like a small school brew pub idea of like a mediocre pale ale, I won't jump at it. But maybe for novelty's sake, you pick up stuff. But when something like he's talking about yeast wranglers coming out and carving in new niches of pretty complex stuff, Makes it a no-brainer. I had tried more wine from Rhode Island than I had beer before this.
Yeah, I mean, Saconnet Vineyards is one of the better-known wine producers in New England.
So, and that's actually great stuff. So I think it's not that there's a lack for want in Rhode Island for good beer. Providence is one of the best food cities on the East Coast, and I will lay down on that. It's really, really good. You got all the Johnson and Wales graduates sticking around, so you know they're used to good tasting stuff, and they have good palates.
Let's say we go to Providence this weekend.
Yep.
Name a couple places to get beers and good food.
Julian's, off the top of my head, is one of my favorite places. I go for brunch and have a couple big beers, and I'm done for the day. Julian's is fantastic. Rogue Island, which is relatively new, lots of locally sourced food, and they focus on Rhode Island beer as well. I also like What Cheer Tavern, which is down closer to the Johnson & Wales campus, actually. They have a great beer selection, really friendly people, small, cozy place, and really excellent food, too. Their buffalo wings are, you know, locally sourced, which it's not that you get that too often. So,
and then, Nico, for you, like, as a journalist, you know, let's say you're going into Rhode Island checking out beer. I mean, how do you set your radar? You know, as a journalist, what are you looking for if you went into a new market?
Well, I guess my question would be, are the breweries in Rhode Island, are they kind of eyeing New York City as a market that they might eventually enter in the future?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know. I think there's definitely an appeal here for it. And it's, you know, a lot of them are already in Connecticut, so it's a logical next step. But, you know, the cost of entry here is a little much, and, you know, there are some challenges. I mean, I've been a big supporter of the fact that, you know, local breweries can really, not local breweries, but small breweries can distribute in New York as long as they do it smart. You know, they work with the right distributor and they just go to the key accounts that they need to, because you don't have to distribute, you know, to every single bar in New York City or every single bar that even serves craft beer in New York City. You just got to get to the ones where people are going to want to seek out your beer and the people who know you are going to appreciate your beer.
Zach spot.
Great. Zach spot. Yeah, I was
looking right at ABC. Right. Hey, guys, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll have some call-in guests on the Rhode Island Beer Show on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, greatbrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
It is so exciting to have this new medium.
Hosting After the Jump has been a huge part of me transitioning from being a blogger to somebody who has sort of real important conversations with people in real life.
My show, I kind of describe it as an audio trade magazine.
I learn a ton from the guests every week, whether it's restaurants, bars.
All the hosts at Heritage all come from different perspectives.
Everyone should be listening to this. If you're interested in conservation and practical approach to renewable food sources, you know, not this big industry.
Whether it's history, laws, social policies of food, I think people now take food seriously, and hopefully what's on their plate will become something very special.
And I feel that podcasting has a future, giving people information in a format they can really use on the go.
We need your support to keep these conversations going. To donate, visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's your PBS moment. Check it out, heritageradionetwork.org. Become a member today. There's a lot of benefits, and get to keep listening to shows like Beer Sessions Radio, Ferment About It, and a couple other shows about spirits and wine and everything. So this is my favorite radio network. I only talk to people with beer, cider, sometimes spirits. Actually, coming up on December 16th, we're going to do a new show. We're going to do a show with beer and spirits. We have some New York State spirits producers on. That's going to be pretty great. But right now we're talking about Rhode Island beer, and our calling guests are on. We've got Lamel Moore and Dammy Olson. Are you guys both on the line?
Yes, I am. This is Dammy.
Hey, Dammy, how are you, man? We're here. We're just about to pop one of your beers. Chris, what foolproof do we have here?
I've got a bottle of the Reverie, actually, that Dammy gave me, what was that, Wednesday when I was at the brewery?
In the
middle of the snowstorm that turned into a washout rainstorm, so everyone panicked for nothing. So, in fact, when I was on my first beer, there was about an inch of snow on the car. And by the time I left, it had all washed away. So, successful.
But so New England.
If you don't like the weather in Rhode Island, wait.
So you spend your time drinking and you miss the snowstorm.
Yeah, exactly.
God, that's horrible. But so, Danny, tell us about Foolproof Brewing. Just tell us where you are and kind of your philosophy behind it.
We are in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, which is just north of Providence, probably about two exits away from downtown Providence. I like to try to make beers that are somewhat balanced. That's my goal. So you're having Reverie right now, which is our Russian Imperial Stout. And that one is, nice, lots of chocolate malts, roasted barley malt is in there. Oh, a little Black Patent. It's just a nice, heavy, dark beer. So it's got a lot of body to it, and the sweetness is balancing out the bitterness of the malts.
It's pretty great. That's really Nico, what do you think? There's Nico from Yankee Brewers. What do you think of this beer?
This tastes great.
I agree. It's fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's different. It's not as roasty as many Russian Imperial Stouts.
I was expecting that syrupy hit, and it didn't. It was very good.
Yeah.
We got Lamel on the line now, too.
Hey, Lamel, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, again, I'm going to give you a shout-out. You've been a big supporter and a regular listener of our show, and thanks for encouraging us to do a Rhode Island beer show.
Oh, it's great to finally see this being done and being updated from the last show, from the original show I listened to.
So what are some of the Rhode Island breweries that you're drinking the most of?
Tell you the truth. Now that I'm more of a bit of a health kick, I haven't really been drinking that much. But I would say definitely the two most, if you go down to my basement cell, it's going to be Proclamation Ale and really digging what Sean's been doing at Revival. He put out a white electric coffee stout. Can't get any cans or bottles yet, but if you go to a bar, you can get that pretty good. And also, too, obviously, the stuff that Nick Garrison has been putting out at Foolproof. That's pretty much a regular in my fridge in the basement.
Yeah. Hey, Dammy, can I ask you to explain some of your background? Because I know there's some listeners out here who probably are familiar with some of the other breweries that you've worked with in the past.
Oh, sure. A little bit of background. I was a chemist for a number of years, and I quit that in 2006 and decided to go off to brewing school. I'd been home brewing for quite a while before that. And then I came back out, and I was looking for work, and managed to land a role at Penachuck up in Milford, New Hampshire. This was a brewery. It was a head brewer up there, and we had some large-format beers, the ones that people tend to remember most would be Pajarnik, which had a very funny spelling on it, and that was our Russian Imperial Stout that was aged in whiskey barrels with vanilla. Pompier, our barley wine, and a few others that were—they're all in the 1 liter bottles that you could really find.
That Pompier, by the way, I told Amy last week I was in Stockholm, Sweden, a couple weeks ago, and there were still some 2008 bottles of that at Akurat in Stockholm. So it's pretty cool to see that.
I got a laugh out of that.
This is cool. I mean, I feel like I'm in like another world, I mean, so, Rhode Island guys. Well, that's Lamel. So Lamel, where do you live, Lamel?
Sorry, what was that?
Where do you live in Rhode Island?
I live in Providence.
Providence. So, what are some of the beer bars or establishments that you go to drink beer in Providence?
Oh, gosh. Put me on the spot here. Definitely, I would say Sullivan's Tap House in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Their sister company, their sister bar place, Doherty's Ale House, also in Pawtucket, is a great one. And we also, we're very fortunate where we've got a couple of new ones in Providence, one being specifically Rhode Island. And they do a great job on focusing on local beers, from even from the Short Star region of Connecticut, and a few other very local places. But definitely my two places are Sullivan's and Doherty's, where they have an amazing amazing tap list and bottle list as well.
Yeah, Doherty's has kind of a little empire of craft beer joints going on now, including one down in Warwick where I grew up. They opened one last year, and
yes,
it's kind of a palace to craft beer in terms of just the sheer tap selection. And yet sometimes I get nervous about number of taps, but everything I've had for them has tasted fresh and good. So really happy to see them continue to build on their empire and expand into the suburbs as well.
Chris, what is it about Rhode Island? Were they just behind on the laws? I mean, I'm reading in Yankee Brew News about a Tilted Barn.
Yep.
They're
new
saying
farm
that they don't have a farm brewery license yet.
No, they don't. I'm still at a loss for why everything just picked up almost, on a dime in 2011. I don't know if Dammy or Lamel can chime in on that, but yeah, just in the last 3 years, we've had some pretty rapid expansion in terms of number of breweries in Rhode Island after being pretty stagnant for so long.
What do you guys think, Lamel or Dammy?
Well, I think. Unfortunately, during that time, I was still actually living in southeastern Virginia, the Hampton, Newport News, Yorktown area. But actually, when I moved back about 3 years ago, that's when things really picked up. And I think it's just the laws and I think circumstances and just like the right timing. We Rhode Island is at a boom impact right now, and I think and actually, fortunately, a lot of the politicians and lawmakers are realizing that those are great manufacturing jobs as well, mm-hmm. especially since Rhode Island, he have unfortunately one of the highest unemployment rates, and those are actually true manufacturing jobs that they can bring to the state. Mm-hmm. And the loosening of laws, some of our laws are still a little not where they should be, but I do believe that it's growing, it's getting better, and that's why we do have such a great, prosperous brewing company that we do, brewing field that we do right now.
Dammy, what do you think about what's brought turned the scene around in Rhode Island?
One of the things is you take a look at both Massachusetts and Connecticut. You had quite a number of breweries in both of those states. And Rhode Island, for the longest time, had one production brewery, and that being Coastal Extreme / Newport Storm. Mm-hmm. And when we were looking at things, we said, it's an untapped market. And I have a feeling that everyone was sort of looking, things were the way the economy was going, everything else, people were going, this looks like an untapped market. I think everything just all of a sudden, everyone had the same idea at the same time, almost.
Yeah. No, I kind of feel that way because even I, everyone has a dream of opening a brewery, and back in like 2009 or 2010, I was like, man, it would be great to open a brewery in Rhode Island. I'm sure it would do really well.
You know what that syndrome's called?
That time is passed
in the water.
Now.
Chris, that's called great minds think alike.
Yes, exactly.
Something happened in Rhode Island. I don't know what it was. But.
So, Dammy, can you explain how you ended up at Foolproof?
Essentially, after Pentachuck closed, I ducked back into being a chemist for a little while I was trying to formulate what I wanted to do, and then went on over to there's a brewery in Worcester called Wormtown that was starting up, and the brewmaster there was a buddy of mine, and I said, hey, you need a hand? And so I was just helping him out, and while that was going on, I met Nick, who's the president and co-founder of Foolproof, and he and I got along well, and we decided, all right, I decided I really didn't want to run the business, and he decided he really didn't want to homebrew brew the beer. He was a home brewer, and
it was a match made in heaven.
It worked well. Yeah.
Cool. And you guys have been open just under 2 years, right?
Just under 2 years. Actually, our grand opening, when we had our friends and family, was 2 years ago. I believe it was 2 years ago yesterday.
Oh, cool.
And we brewed our first batch of beer on December 7th of that year, of 2012. But we sort of opened the doors to the public and everything else January 4th.
Well, I knew there was something going on Rhode Island Beer when my brother lives in Newport, and two summers ago I was there. And I went to one of the, what do you call them, package stores there?
Yep.
You call them package. I went to the package store.
Yeah. And some of us
I did an experiment. I ordered one of my favorite California IPAs. I'm not going to say which one. And then I bought a case. I asked for the local beer, and I got a case of a Storm King. And the California IPA actually tasted kind of stale.
Newport Storm. Oh, okay.
And the Newport Storm tasted super fresh and great. And I started thinking, wow, they're actually the beer that's freshest is the local. And the California beer felt like it had been sitting around for a while.
Yeah.
You can say that for a lot of places, I think, right now. It's like you see the local stuff. People are showing that across the board. And Rhode Island seems like no exception. People want to drink the same thing that's coming from nearby as opposed to from the other coast.
And I think there's also a sense of pride that Rhode Islanders have about local products. You know, it's why we're loyal to things like Autocrat coffee syrup. You know?
Bells.
You know? I think it makes sense that...
Yeah, can you repeat that syrup name again?
Autocrat coffee syrup. Yeah.
Because I think Lamel was laughing when you said
that. No. Jimmy, do you know what the state drink of Rhode Island is?
What?
The state drink of Rhode Island is coffee milk.
Oh, yeah.
And it's made with Autocrat coffee syrup. Lamel knows what I'm talking about. I grew up on that. My parents had no qualms about putting caffeine in my system from a very early age.
So what else is unique about Rhode Island? Johnny cakes? Is there a thing called Johnny cakes?
The biggest little state in the union.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that everyone knows each other once removed, you know, it's a small state geographically. I mean, there's a million people there. It's not exactly a small state in terms of population, but you know, here I was reading more about Tilted Barn, and I realized I went to high school with Matt Richardson, the co-founder of it. I'm like, oh, look at that! I went to high school with him.
Dammy, tell us what do you think? What are some uniquely Rhode Island things that in food and drink for you?
Well, uniquely Rhode Island things, you know, Quahogs. You know, yeah, you can get stuffed clams anywhere, but a stuffed quahog is a Rhode Island thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I had one of those. I had one of those on Saturday night. Go on. You know, what else?
Dell's lemonade.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, you can't have a dead cat without hitting a Dell's stand in Rhode Island, especially come summertime. those are classic Rhode Island. I grew up in southeastern Connecticut, right over the border, and I knew about stuff like that. And also, there was another classic Rhode Island thing, no school in Foster Glossary.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's
the only part of the state that got snow, so they had never had school in the winter.
Believe me, as a kid growing up in Warwick, where we would get like a puddle of sleet, and they would get like 10 inches of snow in Foster. And they'd close school, and we'd be at school. And we're like, oh, man.
Yeah. And, Dammy, so some of the other breweries that you like down there, what are other places you can recommend?
Graysale. Josh there is making some fantastic beers right now. I mean, I'm really enjoying what he's doing out there. Right in Pawtucket, there's actually three breweries in Pawtucket, one of which is ourselves. Another is The Bucket, which is an old Rhode Island nickname for Pawtucket. And the other one is Crooked Current. I haven't had anything from Crooked Current yet, but The Bucket makes a fantastic Kolsch. Really enjoy that one.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's funny. Crooked Current is in the old Bucket space. Bucket upgraded to a larger space, and now Crooked Current is in the old... So everything, what goes around comes around, you know, it's like passing down to the new generation. So
guys, I'm going to read to you from a Yankee Brewer. So the Rhode Island page, there's two ads that are from Rhode Island. There's the Not Your Average Billiard Bar, Rhode Island Billiard with 108 taps. And then there's the Blackstone Valley Brewing Supplies.
Actually, Blackstone Valley Brewing Supplies is where I bought my first homebrew kit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So do you guys know either of those businesses?
Yeah. Steve's a great friend, and Blackstone Valley Brewing Supplies, he has a lot of people come in there. I actually buy my brewing supplies from them, too, as well, and also a lot of my wine kits. So Blackstone Brewing Supply is fantastic, actually.
So that's really, what about the Rhode Island Billiards?
I've never even heard of that place.
North Providence.
I've been there once, and I'll say, you know, it's the beer list isn't what they make it out to be. I'll say that.
Enough of, so we said definitely we could say Blackstone Valley Brewing Supplies and Woonsocket, Rhode Island. That's a heart and soul of Rhode Island craft beer, right?
Could you say that? I mean, it's a good starting point for everyone, you know. And I'm sure there are a lot of home brewers who buy their supplies there, who maybe are eyeing getting into the brewing industry themselves in Rhode Island. And you know, there's still room for a few more. You know, someone asked me yesterday. It's like, so there's 14 production breweries or brew pubs in Rhode Island right now. And the question was, how many towns do you have? Well, there's 39 cities and towns. So we could, in theory, have as many breweries as cities and towns. Why not?
What did you call it, Zach? The little big state?
The biggest little state in the union.
Yeah. Although some will argue that Delaware is actually the biggest little state in the union.
That's fair enough.
Purists.
So, guys, I'll tell you, we're going to take a short break. Demi and Lamel, you're welcome to stay on a little bit. Got a lot more to talk about on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Okay.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is like Trans Love, you know, Productions coming at you. Nice mix master, Mr. Jack Inslee. I like the interlude music. And we should give a shout out to our theme song, the Beer Amigos. They also have a podcast, a beer podcast on Long Island. They actually wrote our intro theme song for our show. And big shout out. Check out the Beer Amigos out on Long Island. All right. So some special guests just walked in. Giancarlo and Sarah Anasi, author of Beer Lover's Guide to New York. Did I get that right?
You did.
You guys have a special thing coming up. So Brooklyn Brewery, not only for its great owners and brewers, has actually been hosting a lot of really great events lately. And you guys have something coming up.
Yeah, we do. So we have on December 15th, we have kind of like a holiday shopping party. It's a holiday book market, and we're having it from 7:30 to 10:30, and it's basically a time to enjoy some really great fresh beer and get some holiday shopping done.
So it's going
to
be all beer books?
All beer, and there's a whiskey book there too, and then also...
So what are some of the books? Will authors be there as well?
Absolutely. So this is the special thing about this party, is all the authors are going to be there signing books, talking to people. Like Steve Hindy, who's the founder of the Brooklyn Brewery. He's going to be signing his book, The Craft Beer
Revolution. Great book.
Garrett Oliver, Brooklyn Brewmaster. He's going to be signing Oxford Companion to Beer. All their books are on sale at the brewery anyway. John Hall, author of the American Craft Beer Cookbook. Us. Lou Bryson, who wrote Tasting Whiskey. Jeremy Cowan, who's the owner of Schmaltz Brewing, and he's the author of Craft Beer Bar Mitzvah. Ben Keen, author of the Great Northeast Brewery
Great book
Tour.
Too.
And we got Jeff Cialetti, too, who created a DVD movie, Beerituality. So it's a really great lineup.
And I'll give a shout on goodbeerseal.com. We actually have a whole bunch of every author who's been on Beer Sessions Radio. We have their books listed, and you can get a direct link to Amazon. So you can also go to goodbeerseal.com and buy many of those books as well.
Definitely.
All right.
Well, I just wanted, tickets are available at bit.ly/holidaybookparty. It's an Eventbrite link. They're $20 for open bar.
I love that bit.ly. You guys hang out. So you guys are my unexpected guests. You guys hang out too. We're going to talk more about Rhode Island beer. So Zach, you know, we've been talking about a lot of different beers. What's your take on Rhode Island beer so far?
I mean, coming from where, like what I know as a New Englander, we're innately proud people. And I feel like the growth of this industry in Rhode Island is going to be supported by the people who live there and probably a little bit further beyond in Massachusetts and in Connecticut. Rhode Island stuff is probably poised to take off from the looks of where people are headed. Mm-hmm. It's pretty young. I mean, there's no more exciting time than the first few years. New York City is kind of seeing that right now too. I mean, you go back to 2011 and you don't really have much happening in the five boroughs.
Yeah.
And now look at us. You know,
we've had 12 breweries open in the last 12 months.
It's so exciting. And I'm looking at Rhode Island, which is, you know, smaller than New York City in terms of population, but I assume, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's smaller than New York City in terms of population, but it's definitely, there's support there and I can see that.
And Nico?
Well, what's the spread like in the state? Like, how many breweries can I hit up in a day? Are they kind of close to
Well,
you can cross
I mean,
the state in 45 minutes, no matter where you're coming from.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. So here's a funny thing. So we're drinking. We just cracked open the Newport Storm Wham Bam Van Dam. It's funny because as a Rhode Islander, we are – There's certain things about Rhode Islanders. We are afraid of long distances because if we, you know, we just travel a few
They're
miles,
laughing.
We're in another state. Oh, it's true. We laugh at ourselves.
It's like
so,
the Belgian syndrome.
I mean, I hadn't been to Newport Storm in like 10 years because it was on the other side of the bridge, you know? So like I have to cross the Newport Bridge to go over there. So, you know, that's, but you can definitely hit up the one, I mean, in Pawtucket, yeah, as Damon mentioned, there's three alone in Pawtucket, which, you know, they're pretty close to each other. In Providence, you can go to Trinity Brew House and Union Station. In Cranston, you know, only a few miles away, you have Brewtopia too. So, and there's a cluster right there. And what's also interesting is down, you know, if you want to include southeastern Connecticut too, you can go down to Graysale in Westerly, Rhode Island, and then you can walk to Cottrell, which is in Pawcatuck, Connecticut. And then Beard Brewing, which is not far from there.
They're great.
It's just a quick
Chris,
ride.
Well, yeah. You had a fun question to ask Dammy, because after that, we're actually going to go to Maine and talk to some guys in Maine. So
during the break, I was like, you know what we haven't mentioned at all? The Rhode Island accent. And it's funny because I hadn't mentioned a couple of your beers that actually use the Rhode Island accent in their names.
Why, yes. We've got Backyard, H, and King of the Yard.
Which
What's the spelling on that?
Y-A-H-D.
Yeah.
You know, just as it's pronounced. So.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, all vowels.
All right, cuz, you guys geek out on Rhode Island here. Come on.
No, we always do. You know, it's we're very proud of the things that make us unique. And it's really great to see that the beer is helping, you know, round out our uniqueness. So, you know, as a beer geek, I'm proud to say that the beer is now what helps make us unique as a state. And I'm really happy to see this finally happen. So.
You guys are awesome. I'm going to ask LaMelle and Dammy, you guys got to sign off because we have a call coming in from Justin Kennedy, our co-producer, is up at Allagash in Maine. He's going to be calling in a minute, so we want to get a few words with him. But Sarah and Giancarlo, Beer Lover's Guide to New York, mm-hmm. You know, what do you think about Rhode Island beer? You don't know anything about it, but you sat through the show today. I bet you have a good question for us.
We don't. We haven't had too much experience with Rhode Island beer, but I guess having traveled New York, where a lot of people are still getting used to the fact that we have good beer, are Rhode Islanders aware that there is such a thing going on? Where there's this
good question.
Oh yeah,
recent.
No, I think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Narragansett. I mean, they're not, you know, necessarily, they're not brewing in Rhode Island, but when that brand came back, it shot up to you know, market share that was, you know, unrivaled by any other brewery because
in
people
Rhode
are
Island.
Proud. Yeah, exactly. Because people are proud of a local product.
And,
so.
And Damian, what's your answer to that question?
Rhode Islanders are very provincial.
I grew up in southeastern Connecticut. I currently live in Massachusetts. And one thing I notice, even growing up and everything else, if something is from Rhode Island, Rhode Islanders buy it. And the craft beer scene there has taken off because, among other things, there's a lot more craft beers out there, and they're going, hey, that's made down the street. I want that one. I don't want to buy. We actually find that in when we brought our beer into Massachusetts, there was a package store that said, well, you guys aren't local. They were about 5 miles from the brewery. They were just over the state line. We weren't local. So
yeah, no, I think New Englanders in general seem to be that way. So
all about the locals in New England.
Yeah, no, exactly. So yeah, no, but it's great to have these Rhode Island breweries. Yeah,
you guys are so Damian Lamel, thanks. You guys have to hang up because we're waiting for another call. Okay,
thanks for joining us, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And Jack, let us know when if Justin Kennedy calls in. In the meantime, let's keep talking. So this is a great show.
Yeah, no, I want to mention, by the way, one thing I didn't mention when we were drinking this Newport Storm Wham Bam Van Dam is that they've really stepped up their game as a brewery. They've been around since 1999, but it was interesting to see how the other breweries that opened in Rhode Island started to give them competition, and they really started to step up their game. They also own a distillery, a rum distillery called Thomas Tew, and they're finally starting to barrel age
their
beers.
How are they able to, if they're making so much beer, they're also able to contract? So Third Rail, for example, mm-hmm. goes up there and makes beer.
Well, if I recall, Third Rail is one of the first breweries they've ever contracted with. And, you know, I know Lauren goes up there all the time to brew his beer. Makes some really fantastic beer too. But it's great to see that some of our local beer is coming from Rhode Island. So
yeah, Nico, you know more about the New York City beer scene too. I mean, did they ever say why they're making beer in Newport Storm and bringing it down to New York City?
I'm not really sure. It's a far drive, but they seem to be happy with, I guess, the conditions there in terms of they're allowed to kind of go up there and do whatever they want. There are no real restrictions to the beers that they're brewing.
Great. Jack, do we have Justin on yet? Not yet. We're waiting for a call. They're trying to make this all New England
show.
Come on,
Justin.
He couldn't get a signal from way up there in Maine.
No, yeah.
Well, right now, Justin Kennedy's up in Portland, Maine at Allagash. He wrote an article last May for Savor Online about the Cool Ship. And we kind of all know about that. But still, how many of you have had Allagash Cool Ship beers, which you can pretty much only get at the brewery? Have you ever had them, Zach?
I haven't been to Portland since I was of drinking age, so unfortunately, no.
Oh, you're missing out.
I know.
Yeah,
it's why strange. Is that the best answer? No. Nico, have you had any of the Allagash Cool Ship beers?
No, but that's definitely on my list too.
I bet John Carlo, have you? And Sarah, no.
Well, am I the only
Chris,
other
I spend
one?
A lot of time when I
yeah.
Maine.
Well, I have Allagash only show. Because our good friend Mike Lavulo, who has a freaking
talk
Allagash
about
tattoo on his arm, brought some down to a bottle share that I did once. So.
All right, hey, here he is. Hey, Justin, are you on the air?
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
So we finished wrapping up Rhode Island. We had a great talk with Dammy from Foolproof Brewing, and we've got Chris O'Leary here and everybody. So what's going on up at Allagash?
Oh, not much. We're just hanging out at the Thirsty Pig in downtown Portland right now. Just finished up brewing one of the, I think the fifth Cool Ship brew of the day. And I'm sitting here with Jason Perkins from the head brewer from Allagash. So we'll try to put on speakerphone. We're in a little bit of a noisy spot, but hopefully we can you can hear us.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you guys just tell us, since we only have a few minutes, what brew you guys made and you know, the recipe, some parameters.
Yeah, so Jason, we brewed the base Cool Ship beer today?
Yeah, we did. We brew one base beer, base word, if you will, that creates our three Cool Ship beers. So Cool Ship Resurgam, Cool Ship Red, and Cool Ship Cerise. So we brewed that base beer today.
And then we transferred the beer from the Cool Ship, which is set overnight from yesterday, into the barrels today, and they'll be there for what, about a year or two, Jason?
Minimum of 1 year. The longest will be 3 years, depending on how we use them.
And will those generally just be available at the brewery?
Sorry, I can't hear you, Jimmy. Say that again.
Will those just generally be available at the brewery?
Yeah.
Like where
Sorry, I'm having a really hard time hearing it.
I you know, I'm glad you guys called in. I don't know if that's the right. So just keep talking, guys. Tell us more about your day in Maine.
Sorry, I really can't hear what you're saying.
Okay. Well, listen, this is fun.
It might be better to. Yeah, we might need to go somewhere else. But
send us a text.
We've had a great time up here, and hopefully you guys had some good discussion about Rhode Island here too.
All right, so we covered a lot of Rhode Island. Jack, thanks a lot. We'll sign off. Thanks, guys, for calling. So we had a fun show tonight. We talked about Rhode Island, and we've got a call into Portland, Maine. So cover a lot of things on Beer Sessions. Events coming up, of course. Sarah and Giancarlo, once again, what's your special event at Brooklyn Brewery?
There's going to be a holiday book market on December 15th with authors like Steve Hindy, Garrett Oliver, Lou Bryson, John Hall, ourselves, and also the movie Beerituality.
I like books about beer, so that's going to be awesome. We're going to that. Zach, anything coming up for the holidays at ABC Beer Co?
I mean, yeah, we're stocking up big on stuff that you're going to want to give out for presents and things like that. You know, have a potential couple classes down the line. We're doing a thing with Greenpoint Brewing on Thursday night. So if you guys want to come by and try some great beer from Brooklyn, 6 to 9, the brewers will be there. We'll be hanging out. A bunch of stuff on tap. So,
all right, Nico, anything going on for you?
Just going to be hanging out in my backyard.
Right on. Chris?
That was a wicked good accent. Yeah.
Well, I love the Rhode Island guys. So also, special events, we're giving some shout-outs. This Saturday and Sunday, December 6th and 7th. Well, first, there's two things. You can go to Mug's Ale House in Brooklyn for their annual something.
Belgium to Brooklyn.
Great event.
The ninth edition.
Or you can go to Single Cut Beersmith in Astoria, celebrate their second anniversary with some special beers.
Can I give a shout-out to the Owl Farm? They start their Imperial Stout Festival this weekend.
That's this weekend, too. Jeez,
so,
Louise.
Well, that runs straight through until next weekend, too. So you can space out those, you know, 10% beers.
It's December 16th. Come listen to our show, Beer and Spirit Show. We're talking about New York spirits and beers. And a lot more coming. I'm going to give a shout-out for New York City Beer Week. You know, you're going to start hearing about it, but it's coming back the end of February 21st. And our New York City Brewer's Choice will be back. It will be Tuesday, February 24th. You'll start hearing about it in a couple weeks. But put that on your radar because we're going to have 30 brewers all making a batch of beer with New York State grain, over 20 different restaurants and chefs from New York City. And it's definitely going to be back as a marquee event for New York City Beer Week. We're working closely with the New York City Brewers Guild this year and Grow NYC. And Andrea from Valley Malt up in Massachusetts. So
she's awesome.
That's right. In closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com have helped to bring this podcast to you again for going on the fifth year. Thanks to Chris, Zach, Nico, Lamel, Dammy, Justin, Sarah, and Giancarlo for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, Mac Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.